Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, After Buzzers? Welcome back to the Shy After Show here at AfterBuzz. I am your host, Erica Edwards, but I couldn't do it without the crew, my fellow host. So give it up for the original OG here from the beginning, from day one, the amazing, impeccable Lauren Hubbard.
Hi, guys.
And of course, you guys remember the gentleman in the group, Chef Beans, with the Mitchell Cuisine. And he's back.
What's going on, y'all? Sorry, I just had to, you know, like, turn the lights on a little bit. But hey, everybody, happy to be back.
Yes, yes, yes. So you guys, make sure you comment and engage in the chat because we are all here for season 3, episode 1, FOM. And let's take it from the top. What did you guys think overall about the episode? And we'll start with you, Chef Beans, because we always hungry for your cuisine.
So honestly, I felt this episode started off, it was a lot of things being planted this episode. I'm not exactly sure how I felt because I feel like there were so many stories being created. Like, okay, this person died. Then a random brother popped up. Then someone might have potentially been abducted. It was just a lot going on. So I'm in the middle. I'm waiting to see what happens past this. But I'm like, I'm in between with how I feel about it.
What are your thoughts, Lauren?
I thought it started off a little slow, but I like that it kind of started with the happy scene being the marriage. And then, like Chef said, someone did die. But the end, I guess, is kind of what makes me want to continue watching because it did leave us on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I agree with Chef in that there was a lot going on. But I think that's kind of consistent with their writing over the past few seasons anyway. I think there's a lot of times where it's like 85 different storylines and sometimes they do try to do too much. I thought it was interesting kind of where we jumped in. I guess this was kind of to keep us engaged because they kind of told you where people were, but not really. So you still, you know, there were so many situations where I'm like, I think I have more questions now than you really answered what's going on with everybody. But again, I agree. I like the wedding scene and starting it off with Keisha. I thought it was shot amazingly, even the whole all the way down to the slide, you know, and the dancing and everything. So I thought it was really interesting to see kind of Nina and Dre take a more forefront roles in this episode. What did you guys feel about that? Or we'll start with you, Lauren. How did you feel about the wedding scene?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we finally got some happiness going on with all the tragedy that happened last season. But yeah, you kind of see who kind of the new big players or big characters will be. It sets you up to show, okay, even though Brandon is now gone, other people are ready to step up and take on that role. So I guess I like that. The show must go on, right?
What did you think, Chef?
So we're talking about the opening scene with the wedding. I can kind of see what they're trying to do. A lot of times with entertainment and movies, we usually see the heterosexual dominant marriage type couples on most cinema. So I feel like with the writers and Lena, they're trying to create new narratives for a different perspective on love. So I understood that. I'm still like curious to see like what direction they build off of with these like narratives that they're trying to, I guess, show that
the most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
This episode is brought to you by ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. Enter ServiceNow. It puts AI to work for people, for employees, for developers, and even your customers, removing frustration and supercharging productivity. On our intelligent platform, AI isn't just a promise. It's happening today. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. To learn more, visit servicenow.com/AI for people.
Audience.
Yeah, I agree. And I think because I had almost even forgotten that she was gay from before, really, because it's like you very rarely see her girlfriend. And I wanted to go back and be like, is that even the same woman? Because now it's like it's a total, you know,
I
now
don't think it was.
I don't think it was, but I don't think they really
person.
I think there are a few sort of dangling details in this episode where you're like, okay. You know, what happened? So like, for example, we'll transition to, we start off at the wedding and then we go to the, to Brandon's funeral. So, you know, this is when we find out that Brandon's died, which I guess is good because it was earlier in the episode, but I find it interesting that the wedding is going to be the same day as his funeral. So it's like, you hear your mama's wedding, but you're like, okay, peace out. I got to go to my boy's funeral. So I don't know if it's Lena don't care about Brandon or Nina don't care about Brandon, but it's interesting that, you know, of all the days, this is your friend's, your son's best friend, you get married on this day at this time. So maybe that is to Jason Mitchell, but what did you guys think about the funeral scene?
But even with that, and to piggyback off of what someone said in the chat, RKMO just seems like they didn't put much effort in Reg and Brandon's ending. So we see that Brandon died, but we're not very clear on how he died. Was it gang violence? Was it the business that he was doing? Did he get hit by a drunk driver? Even though his mom kept saying, the city doesn't have no love for you, X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z, it just wasn't sure how he left. So
yeah, I agree. I thought it was very weird that they would have the wedding and a funeral on the same exact day, and I also thought it was weird that they would kill Brandon off, seeing that his brother Coogie also died. You know, they could have thrown him off in a different way. So I thought that was very strange. And
all right, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought it was strange because the mother was very bitter, and the way she talked about them, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't soft and compassionate. It was more rough. So I thought all of that was just kind of like, let's just hurry up, get him written off the first 5 minutes of the show and move on.
And here's my question too, was now I was okay with the mother being so bitter because she kept saying, you know, the streets took him or the city or whatever. So it's sort of like she's alluding to gang violence, and they kind of left you at the end where he was going to maybe flip on Duda. So it's like, who, you know, but we still don't really know. But what I find interesting, or my question is, what happened to Jerrica that was so bad she wouldn't even show up at his funeral? I'm like, dang, like, I know.
I thought about that too.
I'm like, okay, she's not even there. She's not even Skyping in. She's not sending no flowers. Like, okay, you can show us what their breakup was or something. That part I thought was kind of a little bit just like, she's not there at all, not even the back, not saying nothing. And I thought Laverne made some comment about him not being able to love Jerrica because he was so broken. But I was like, I need more. Like, why is she still not here at the funeral? I needed a little bit more in that respect.
Yeah, they definitely etch and sketch this character out. Like, really, say, like, oh, look, he died. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, you know, she's done with the show. She wants to leave. I get that. But she could have showed up for 10 minutes of the scene, you know, just came on set for one day, did the funeral scene, and then left. I thought that was kind of tacky that it's supposed to be your, you know, his girlfriend, and she's not at the funeral. So I completely agree.
They could have both died in the drive-by. I mean, something, but just explain where she is. Because if she's, you know what I mean? Like, even if she wasn't with him, she would come to his funeral, like, for sure.
Right, so that, absolutely. Like, they were living together.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, come on. Come on. So now we see the new character. What are the people in the chat, as well as, oh, then someone in the chat did mention that Kieran was the old girlfriend. So it's definitely not the same chick. So, or maybe they just don't realize that some people remember that. But yeah, so I don't know who this new Dre is. Oh, wait a minute. So let's go to this. What do you all think about the fact that Darnell used to kick it with Dre before she got became a dude? Now, that's when you know you a hoe. But what do you all feel about the whole Darnell, Jada, Emmett sort of flow that kind of went through the wedding?
Oh, and I thought that was, I felt that was so forced. I feel like, how in the world, you know, it just was like they needed to write this character in. So they just threw that little one-liner in. Oh yeah, I used to mess with her before she turns gay, and now maybe you're the one who made her turn gay. Like, I was just like, that's so forced. But you know, it looks like they're writing just a bunch of stuff to hurry up and set a new beginning for us.
Yeah, to piggyback off of that, that was my response too, because I even rewinded it just to make sure I heard it correctly. Like, is he saying that he smashed Kev's mom too back in? Like, then he was really out here in these Chicago streets. But I guess, yeah, I guess we're all on the same page as them trying to steer a narrative with different characters and different storylines. But it was still pretty forced, I would say, as well.
Exactly, because I was kind of thinking, okay, if Emmett was dating Keisha anyway, y'all could just go to the wedding. Like, it's not this deep where you have to make up all these other story ways. Like, y'all could just go. It's the South Side. Y'all probably do know each other because your children dated. So it's not really, or booty called or whatever they were doing. So it's like, okay, it doesn't have to be this whole made up relationship just so that we can see Jada and Darnell together. So, which I assume was the point of, you know, of that particular scene. So, so how do you guys feel about Emmett trying to, you know, step into Brandon's shoes and take over the food truck and be there for Kev, and, you know, he's trying to be Mr. Mature?
I think he's still transitioning, and it's challenging for him. The first indicator of that was the lack of seasoning and food. We remember how people used to respond to Brandon's cooking. Like, damn, this is the best food I ever had in my life. With Emmett, they was like, you just know the regular family gossip, to the point where they ordered pizza at a wedding. That took me out. I'm like, damn, your food must be really not there. But like I said, you can see he's transitioning, even his living conditions. When he first moved in last season,
right,
it kind of looked like a hole in the wall. But now he's building it up from the ground up. So I'm proud of him. At the same time, I can identify that he's just taking steps.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Lauren. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I kind of figured that the writers would make his character kind of step in a little bit of Brandon's role, because he was closest to Brandon, helping him with the taco truck and everything. But right. I also think it might be him taking on just a little bit too much since he has maybe another child coming on. So I guess we'll see how that plays out.
Well, yeah, because that's the question. It's like, is she still pregnant? Because she was smoking weed and rolling joints and stuff. So I feel like, did they forget that she was pregnant at the end of the last season? And they, you know, what happened to the baby? Yeah, I think Emmett trying, you know, kind of being more mature, even in how he's dealing with Keisha and their sort of interaction. That was really cute at the wedding. I really got a good sort of Kiki. And it's interesting to see him with his baby mama, Tiff, as well. So, you know, so that's kind of interesting. Now, what do you guys think about Duda and how he's just going to segue his way in for like, go shake her hand and make sure it's on the paper? And obviously now he's running for mayor.
Well, Duda has always been pretty conniving with like all of his actions. So I'm not surprised by that. I think the thing that really surprised me with Duda was being able to pay the mother $5,000 to get her son. That is what I'm like, $5,000? You're like that, like everything else that Duda does, he's a slimy guy. So nothing surprises me. It's the simple fact that when you take it into consideration, a woman just thought her son was worth $5,000 a year. Just take him, do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're a drug addict, she might have taken $100 for him, to be honest. You know, I'm sure people have sold their children for less just to get, you know, whatever drugs they could get. But I thought that was pretty low down too of the mother. For Duda, that was just, hey, he sees someone who needs money and he's gonna give her whatever she's willing to take. But as far as him being at the funeral, I thought that was pretty underhanded of him to show his face just for a photo op. And he kind of, in the story, of course, put him in that position to be dead.
At Jiffy Lube, we care about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. It's why for over 40 years, we have been providing quick and quality service. And with free instant estimates at JiffyLube.com, you can know what to expect, even before your visit. Visit your local Jiffy Lube. We'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more. Visit JiffyLube.com to find coupons and start an instant online estimate.
You know, that was exactly, like, wow.
Exactly. That's what I thought too, because I was like, Duda might actually have been responsible for Brandon's death, being that we don't even know really how he died as of yet. So I thought that was an interesting sort of little twist. And then, of course, we still have Ronnie the drunk, which he seems to be right where he left off. So what do you guys feel about Ronnie and sort of, you know, he's begging to get into the funeral house, even though he knows, everybody knows he killed the boy's brother. How did you guys feel about how they sort of reintroduced us to Ronnie, you know?
That honestly shocked me. Yes, that shocked me. Because why are you showing up to Brandon's funeral? Y'all never got along. Yes, they had their one little scene where they heard each other's side of the story and they just decided to move past it. But the fact that you would show up to this man's funeral and you killed his brother, I was like, wow, you're bold.
At first I didn't take that into consideration that he killed his brother, because that was episode one, season one. So I think the empathetic side of me was like, I mean, he wants to pay his respect. But then when I factored it in after Kev responded to him, I'm like, wait a minute. He has some blood on his hands. And then we could kind of see throughout the episode how like alcoholism is still heavily a part of his life. Even though he turned it down a little bit, you could tell he still struggles with taking that bottle out of his hand. So I know he had like his somewhat awakening when he was dealing with Common in the past, but I'm not sure if those lessons left his body.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they left his body when he got evicted, because all of his stuff was in the yard, and it was like, okay, this just added on to his already kind of crazy situation. And I really thought it was interesting, the one scene in the funeral that I thought, or I should say before the funeral, that was interesting, was that he's going to ask Kevin to vouch for him, the same person that witnessed the murder. So I was like, oh, okay, you know, so that was kind of an interesting sort of moment there. But yeah, you know, so I still feel like Ronnie is sort of that drunk uncle on the peripheral of the show, like just kind of, you know, in and out of scenes, but not, you know, not really keeping it together. So what do you guys feel about Trigg and his girlfriend? Trigg, we meet, okay, so we find out, okay, well, let me start with this. So we find out when we see the kids at the wedding, we find out now that Reggie is also dead. And so the kids to me this season seem like they're trying to be on that, like, I'm almost in high school type flavor. But I think it's working with them. Like, they've all kind of matured, but still managed to keep a little bit of, like, that hood innocence about them. What did you guys think about, like, sort of, you know, kind of how they're reintroducing us to the kids?
I think it's honest. Me personally, I wasn't smoking and drinking in high school. I had a lot of friends who were. So, like, I thought that was on point. On top of them trying to hang out with girls when their parents aren't home. All of that is high school stuff. So, I mean, I thought it was a great indication that these kids that we saw grow up from middle school to being afraid to go on stage to do, you know, plays to now, this is where we're at with it. I thought it was a great awakening to these older young men or young teenagers.
I agree. Lauren, your thoughts?
Yes, I agree with Chef. And they even look older. I know, I feel like the show, what ended maybe a year ago, they grew up so fast. They all got taller, you know, they look a little more mature. But I agree, you know, they were trying to drink some wine in the back and you see Papa fell asleep. That was funny. And then, yeah, with the girls coming over, I feel like it was all very age appropriate for boys entering into high school. So I really liked it. I thought it was, you know, he's still making jokes, but they're also all in pain as well.
Exactly. So now how shocked are you guys to see that Maisha knew Ebony when she showed up with her braids and now she's Big Papa's girl? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, the timeline typically for like middle school relationships, things like that, only be like 2 weeks tops. Like, you know, middle school relationships don't last that long. But I think this is an early lesson for Kev. Like, if you don't give a woman attention, she's going to get that attention from somewhere else. And Big Papa, his charm slash game is just a little different from theirs. But we've always known that Big Papa was far ahead of his time, you know, like right. How he just preaches about everything. So I wasn't surprised. And I thought it was like funny to see her on the other side of the door. Like, oh, you thought I was going to pull up.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, I thought it was cute. I honestly thought Big Papa and Maisha would be together from the beginning because Big Papa was the one originally spitting game at her.
Right.
Yeah, she liked Kevin. So I thought it was like a cute little full circle thing.
Exactly. I agree. I always thought it was some chemistry there between Big Papa and Maisha. So it was cute to kind of see them together. And it was nice to see Kevin be like, you know, she's a good girl, treat her right or whatever. I thought that was kind of a cute moment, a cute tee-hee. But all right, so let's get to some of my favorite parts, Trigg and Duda. So, one, like, to me, I don't know if I'm, like, too into it or whatever, but the actor, you know, Trigg, to me, still looks like Reg. Like, I'm, like, buying casting. I'm, like, okay. That really could be his brother. I was, like, okay, we're doing it. Okay, come on, Nishai, we could do it. And I like the fact that, you know, that he set up that meeting, and he's the only person I think we've seen so far who's not really basically afraid of Duda. So that kind of makes you think like, oh, okay, what did you do to go to prison? But how do you guys feel about the whole him bringing the guy from the other gang there and just that whole thing, the way we kind of really see who Trigg really is? What are your thoughts?
Well, I was a little confused at first. At first, I thought Trigg was Reg. Like, I thought
me too.
Reg survived, right. And now they got Wolf James. I was just like, is he going to sing? What's going on? So I was confused at first. Then when they started to get more into the dialogue, like, oh, my brother, I was locked up. You saw my brother. Then I'm like, okay. So, yes, that was pretty on point as far as them having the lookalikes. But his character, even though he's, I've noticed him kill someone, I still don't get that same, like, Reg feel when he comes on camera yet. It's just kind of like a brother who's mad, but I'm not, like, clenching. Like, is he, like, I don't know. That character hasn't been built yet, even though it's only one episode. But I'm, like, indifferent about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you both. At first I was like, is this Reg? And they just casted somebody different that looks like him, you know? So that was interesting. But I like Luke James playing him because he doesn't act like Reg at all, which is what I like. He has a different approach. And I'm also wondering, like you said, Erica, what did you do to gain the status where you can just shoot somebody right there in the head and you know, Duda doesn't kill you right then and there.
From so far away.
But when he gets close to him, I thought he was going to shoot him, but there's either some level of respect or they know each other somehow. So I'm interested to learn that backstory.
Exactly. Because, yeah, I mean, I think that's my thing. To me, Reggie was always subordinate to Duda. And Trigg, for one, Trigg seems to really kind of know, as we all probably suspect, that Duda had Reggie killed. So that's why he's like, well, yeah, I know you wouldn't... he wouldn't still be breathing if you knew that. And so I think what's interesting is that Trigg, for whatever reason, feels brazen enough to challenge Duda to some extent, whether it's, you know, whether it's correctly or incorrectly. So that's an interesting, I think, sort of twist off of, you know, because clearly he's here to kind of replace Reggie in Reggie's role. So it's like, okay, this is an interesting way to kind of make his character different from Reggie. And, you know, and kind of see, you know, I guess he's going to struggle with his relationship with Jake. So we talked about this a little bit more earlier, but how did you guys feel about the whole scene with Trigg and the girlfriend and the mother, the crackhead mom?
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
That scene, I was trying to figure out if that was the same house that they were living in season one and two when Reg was still alive, which I think it was.
It looked like it was, because I remember those little 70s couches or whatever that they had up in there. So I do think it was actually.
So one, I was trying to decipher that. Two, I'm just trying to figure out the role Trigg's girlfriend is playing right now. Because, you know, she was talking like the real estate talk. Oh, we going to figure this out. Then she bumped into this dude, the security guard, and helped him rob them. So I'm like, but to get more direct with your question, it seemed like a necessary conversation that needed to be had between Trigg and his mom. But we still have some unraveling to do with Trigg. Like, is G's just super random to me at this point? Because this is his introduction. And as we said earlier with this episode, there were so many different storylines, it's kind of hard to grasp one thing.
Yeah, Lauren?
Yeah, I don't know what it is with me and these girlfriends, because I don't know if you remember last season, I wasn't a huge fan of Jerrica either. It seems like when they're casting these people, the chemistry just isn't there for me. And, you know, well, Tiffany Boone...
Here's my question to you. Here's my question to you on that, because I was going to mention this when Chef Beans was talking as well. So there were rumors last season about part of the reason why Baron or Baron Fitzpatrick left is because he didn't want to work with a transgender actress. And now, like, is this actress trans, you know, trans, because to me, I kind of felt that. And I was like, and so I couldn't tell if he's dating a trans and like everybody's supposed to be cool with it, or if she's portraying a woman, you know what I'm saying? Like, not even, you know what I'm saying? Like, is, you know, like, or is it his relationship with the trans? Like, is this kind of like Omar from The Wire or whatever? Is this the storyline that they're bringing here? But I couldn't really tell. Honestly,
that makes a lot of sense. Like, now I didn't even think about that, but that makes a lot of sense, because I was going to say the chemistry between them, you know what I mean? For me, the chemistry is not there. I couldn't see them be a real couple. So it probably is what you just said, because I think the girlfriend is like the same height as Luke James, and you could tell there's some features there that are a little different. And obviously Lena Waithe is part of the LGBTQ community, and she wants to include all of those actors in her shows. So that's a great point you bring up, actually.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I would actually be really intrigued to see. I mean, it's great either way, but I'd be intrigued to see him, after being in prison, being in a relationship with a transgender person. Like, I think that would be a unique, if that's where they're going with it, I think that would be kind of a really interesting thing to see, because he's such, you know, such a badass, such whatever, is going to kind of take over and still be true to himself. Chef Beans, your thoughts?
No, absolutely. I thought that his girlfriend had very masculine features.
Right.
So I just read a comment in the chat about the same thing that you just said about Reg turning down the role because of the transgender aspect. Like I said, the chemistry wasn't there, like I've noticed in Brandon and Tiffany Boone's in season one, as far as like, right, I felt like they were into each other. This, it still leaves like that floating space to where it's kind of like ambiguous, that like their chemistry. I'm not exactly sold yet, but it's still very much so the early stages. And I do know how a lot of writers and directors create these different narratives to tap on different points. Like Lena does that in a lot of her shows, Boomerang, all that, where she just creates the conversation. So maybe this could be the intro to another one of those conversations. Like, yeah.
Exactly. So we end up winding up the episode the same way we began, with Keisha. And what's interesting is we see Keisha take the money to Emmett, and Emmett kind of gives her another little pep talk, like, get out of Chicago, use your track or whatever. And what I found interesting, or kind of abrupt, was that the whole big thing about you're dressed like a prostitute. Like, I don't know, like Tiffany, I don't even think she would say that. Like, it might be a whole, I don't know. There might be so many things, but don't come here and talk, like, I don't know. So that seemed forced, but it seemed like they wanted to make the point that she was dressed like a prostitute when she's sitting at the bus stop. But how did you all feel, you know? And so then, of course, we see her at the bus stop and we see Ronnie looking crazy. And then, you know, now she's gone. So what are your thoughts, ladies?
We'll start with you. I'm confused about the relationship between Tiffany and Jacob Lattimore, because, like we said, are they in a relationship? Are they just co-parenting? Because, you know, there was no like lovey-dovey between them either. So for her to call her a prostitute when she's just coming to give the money, I agree, that seemed a bit much. Like, look, I'm going to see my own man. I'm just dropping off this money. And then when she's at the bus stop, you could tell she was uncomfortable with the way that Ronnie was looking at her. And obviously it seems that she was abducted, but that also seems strange to me, because let's just be real. Ronnie's character is very frail and skinny, and she's almost the same size as
Keisha?
Kevin's sister.
Keisha.
Yeah, they're almost the same size. So I'm like, I think you could kind of fight them off. So I just thought that was interesting how they did that.
I mean, I think that scene could have been created because, who's to say Ronnie even did that? I think it was just more so, you know, create the image of the possibility. But what even kind of confused me a little bit, or left me on the edge of my seat, so I should say, like how the bus driver opened the bus and he waited a second as if he was waiting. So was she texting the bus driver? Is she still into older dudes? It's a lot of different questions. You get what I'm saying? Because right. Most bus drivers aren't going to stop at a bus stop where there's no people. They're going to keep going. So there's no one there. So.
Okay, I agree with that part. Someone was definitely at the bus stop because he stopped and opened. Any other bus driver, they keep going. But she definitely wasn't texting the bus driver because she told the guy, unless you're going to come pick me up, then don't worry about when I come. So it's definitely not the bus driver. But I agree. Who was at that stop? Because he looked like he saw somebody.
This is what I thought. I thought that the way they shot the scene, you see her at the bus stop and you see the bus driver, you know, you see the bus. So I thought the bus driver was looking because he was driving up the street. Like, I just saw her here. You know what I'm saying? And then you open and there's like a jacket or whatever. So I thought he had seen her from earlier as he pulled up. And then now she's gone so quickly. And so I do agree. I think Ronnie was sort of to kind of set the mood that she's dressed some kind of way and people are going to be looking at her some kind of way. And honestly, I Googled this after I saw that scene because I was like, there have been women snatched from bus stops in Chicago. So this is kind of their, you know, kind of their way to get sort of tribute to the real world in there as well. So it's interesting, but it did kind of leave you wanting to come back next week. I will say that.
Yeah, they got that right.
So that was a good one. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much. That pretty much wraps up the first episode, you guys. So we got it in starting strong. So let's move on to our special segment. What is it? Chicago Highlights? Is that what we called it?
Yeah.
All right, you guys. So last year, I was all about, you know, how great Chicago is, the bomb or whatever, which it is, of course, because I'm from Chicago. But so this year, I'm going to do a little bit, at least for my people, I'm going to mix it up a little bit. So the person that I'm highlighting today is Jeff Fort, also known as Abdul Malik Kaba. And he is the former originator and gang leader of the Blackstone Rangers gang that started in Chicago and went on to form like this infamous gang where he had like 5,000 people under him. He united the gangs together and he was like basically the Black Mafia of the 70s. And, you know, he formed what was called the Black Keystone Nation. He worked with one of the reverends in Chicago to actually start getting grants from the government. So he was basically running drugs and helping the community. And so the first picture for...
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money, up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
For example, that I have provided of him back in the day, because he was taking these grants, they sent him to jail for misappropriating government funds. And so they brought him in to testify before Congress. And that's the picture of him when he goes to Congress. And then I think he says his name and then he walks out. So that's because he's, you know, I guess not a snitch or whatever. And so basically, even after going to jail for that, he got out. He started like another form of the gang in Milwaukee. And it got to the point where basically he has been sentenced now. He's still in prison. He's about 73 now. And he's basically serving a life sentence. He got like 168 years for basically, hiring somebody to be murdered or ordering somebody to be murdered, drug trafficking. And then he took $2.5 million from Libyan officials to do terrorist acts here in America. So right now he's still running things from in prison. our highlight of today is Jeff Fort, the creator of the Blackstone Rangers.
Wow.
So now that we've done that fun moment of murder and mayhem, let's move on to our news and gossip.
Yes. So for news and gossip, I actually got to watch the interview on The Breakfast Club with Jason Mitchell, and he finally actually speaks out about some of the things that happened, because obviously, you know, last year there was a lot of speculations as to why he left, and he pretty much denies any allegations of sexual misconduct. You know, he tries to explain the whole thing when people go to HR, and he basically said Tiffany Boone never went to HR. It was all Ayanna, the showrunner at the time. They actually got into an altercation. And he says that Tiffany left the show because she got a better job, you know, a bigger role somewhere else. He said he's actually still working. He has a new team. So there's actually, you should check out the full interview on the Beck's Breakfast Club, because it's actually a really good interview. And moving forward, Candy from Real Housewives of Atlanta, she will be on the show, and she'll be casted as Duda's girlfriend or love interest. So that's going to be really interesting. And then we also have Lala Anthony, who's going to be joining the cast as Dom, and her character will really be helping Jacob Lattimore's character, you know, teaching them how to cook, teaching them how to run the business. So they have some pretty big names who are going to be added to the cast. So I'm pretty excited to see what the season will be like. And also, Sunday, they had kind of a concert. It was called The Shy with Love. And Common was on there, Jacob Lattimore performed, and some other local Chicago artists. And you can actually still catch it on YouTube. So, you know, and they're all the, if you donate, all the proceeds will go to a foundation to help against the injustice in the system. So I suggest everyone go kind of like, oh, Twista also was on there rapping. So I suggest you go check it out on YouTube. It's called The Shy with Love.
Oh, cool. I will definitely do that. And I too enjoyed the interview with Jason Mitchell on The Breakfast Club. All right, you guys. So before we get out of here, let's do some predictions. So, Chef B, let's start with you.
My predictions would go, I can see with Trig, I can see Trig being a lot more aggressive with what's going on. I don't know if he's going to survive. I'm not exactly sure how long he's going to survive, but maybe his intro was here for a reason. I also predict that Keisha has been abducted. Like, this is not no random, like, she's been abducted, and maybe some type of human trafficking might be a part of this. I'm not exactly sure, but that's my predictions.
Wow. Well, I hope it's not human trafficking. I definitely agree, though. She's definitely been abducted. I feel like she might show up in the next two episodes and we figure out what happened. But I think that Trig will definitely give Duda a run for his money. And I feel like his character is going to last the whole season, just because they can't kill off everyone, you know? But I also think that Kevin, I'm interested to see in what type of character development they're going to choose for Kevin, since he's been through so much. And I also want to find out the reason why Keisha does not like Dre, because they made it very apparent in this episode that Keisha is not really feeling Dre. So I want to know what their backstory is.
Oh, I agree. I think for me, one thing will be Trig and Jake. So I think even though Trig wants Jake back so bad, Jake doesn't want to go back. So I think there is going to be some sort of pawn issue with Jake between Duda and Trig. I think that's going to be sort of an ongoing thing. I think we're going to see more of Dre and her whipped out dildo. That was a first. I don't think I've seen a dildo on Showtime yet. So go ahead, Showtime. You're breaking barriers. And yeah, I agree. I think Keisha has been kidnapped. And so this is going to kind of cancel her college plans, because when she gets back, she's probably going to be like too devastated to even go back to school. So that'll be an interesting thing. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you guys for joining us in the chat and engaging with us. That's why you all make us the ESPN of TV Talk. So like, subscribe, you know, leave more comments after the live is over. So you guys, where can they find you and what would you like to promote? Starting with you, Chef Beans.
You can find me on all social media platforms at Chef_Beans. That's with a Z. Or you can check out my website, www.chefbeans.com.
And Lauren?
Muted.
Oh, wait, you're muted. Okay.
You, yeah. You can find me on Instagram at LaurenTheTrube, and you can check out my website, lauren-patricia.com.
All right, you guys, and I'm Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in Door, Edwards. Or you can catch me here at 3 p.m. for the Perry Mason after show. But otherwise, hit me up on social media or exactly Erica on YouTube. Ciao for now, folks. See you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed here.